so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
So I want you to go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. I want to talk to you today about time between promise and performance. Time between promise and performance. How many knows that there is a time between the promise and performance? Just like there is a time between planting a seed and receiving the harvest. The problem is, though, that we live in a world that we want it right now. We want it right now. It should be on that. It's not there? Mike messed something up. It was there early before service. Good help's hard to find. Nah, he's great help. I'm just messing with him. Y'all leave him alone. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, go with me there to verse 20. I'm not going to wait. They'll catch up with me. The Bible says, "For all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." 2 Corinthians 1:20. "For all the promises of God in him are yea." All the promises of God, all of them, are in him, Jesus Christ. So that's who's got to bring them to pass. But then in Mark chapter 11, Mark chapter 11, verse number 12. When you get there, say amen. If you don't plan on going there, say go ahead. You bunch of heathens. "Now the next day when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.' And his disciples heard it. So then they came to Jerusalem, and then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, 'It is not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you've made it a den of thieves.' And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went out of the city. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree that," remember, "that Jesus cursed. And the Bible said that it was dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' Father, I ask you to give me that which makes preaching easy and effective, and that is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Anoint my words, my thoughts, that I may speak the oracles that you've placed in me this week, God, in Jesus' name." And the church said, amen. Amen. If you've been in church for any length of time, you've heard this phrase that "I got a word from the Lord," or "I received a word from the Lord." Most of the time, what that means is I've got a promise from the Lord, or something has taken residence inside of me, and I know that God's going to perform and or do what he just said he was going to do in my life. How many of us, though, who has gotten a word or a promise from God are still waiting on the performance of that promise? Anybody in the house? Yeah, quite a few of us have gotten the word, but we're still waiting for the word to come to completion. We're still waiting for the performance of the word that we received. Now, promise as a noun says this, that it is a declaration that one will do or refrain from doing something specified. A legally binding declaration that gives the person to whom it is made a right to expect or to claim the performance or forbearance of a specified act. What does it mean? It means that when you promise somebody, they begin to expect to receive what you have promised. That's why many times it's called a promissory note, that you promise to pay this on this, and they are expecting for you to do what you said you were going to do. And when you get a promise from God, can I tell you that you can begin to expect to receive what God said you're going to get? The problem is the time. The problem is we want it right now. You know, I heard this before, that the Bible says that a day is as a thousand years in the sight of God. And I heard one guy go, "Lord, would you give me $1 million?" He said, "I will in another day." Some of y'all get that when you get to lunch. 1,000 years from now, he will. But as a verb, the promise means to proclaim or announce. It's also meant as an undertaking to do or give something, a promise. So when you get a promise from God, you can expect to receive from God, but you also need to proclaim and announce that God's given you a promise. Now, sometimes we're scared to talk about it because what if it doesn't come to true? What if it doesn't come to pass? Well, I'm not telling you to go around and tell everybody, but you need to tell somebody. I remember several years ago, the Lord gave me a promise, and I'll never forget it. It was in the, I don't remember the year, but I remember it was in December, and the Lord said these words to me as I drove down Highway 19. The Lord said to Ronnie Reed, said, "I'm going to bless you next year financially." I like those kind of blessings. Come on, somebody. "I'm going to bless you financially next year. That's going to blow your mind." And I thought, well, how's he going to do that? I don't write songs. I don't write books. I don't know how he's going to do it. And I was so afraid, I wouldn't even speak it to anybody. I wouldn't even tell Sherry. But then the Lord said, "You got to tell somebody, announce what I said, so that when I complete what I said, somebody will be able to shout with you and glorify God with you and give me praise on what I promised because I have proclaim." So if you've got a word from God, if you've got a promise from God, find somebody you can trust and proclaim it and announce it to somebody and tell them, "I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know where, but I know that God's going to complete the promise that he placed in my spirit. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen." Now let's talk about the dignity of the promises. Notice the apostles' words. "For all the promises of God in him are yea." These promises were made according to the promises of his own will. Not your will. His own will. Now, some of you are wondering probably, "Well, Pastor, did God bless you that year?" Absolutely. And I wished it happened every year. But that's what we do, right? God give you one promise, like, "Hey, woohoo. Well, if it happened this year, I'm believing for next year." But God didn't say it. He didn't say perpetual. It blew my socks off. But it didn't happen the same the next year. So you can't click your heels together three times and announce what God says and believe it's going to come to pass. You got to have it from the Lord. Well, Pastor, how do I get it from the Lord? In your prayer time or in your Bible study reading? Listen, this book is a book of promises. I'm about to get ahead of myself. But you've got to know what the promises are. You know, how many if you ever loaned somebody some money, and you've said, "Well, just pay me when you get it." How many knows they never get it? That's why you got to tell them what you expect from them. Because if you don't, well, just pay it when you get it. Well, why didn't you ever pay it? Because I never got it. Something else always come up. Come on, somebody. I gave my daughters a credit card when they went to college. I said, these are for emergencies. And emergencies is not that you need a pizza. Emergencies is not that I need to go to the movies. That's not an emergency. These promises are made according to the purpose of His will. And we sometimes read or hear or speak of the promises written in God's word. But do we give them as much credit as if they were the promises of a friend or of a father or our brother? Do we give them as much credence as if somebody would have told you? Well, but you know, Pastor, I know so-and-so. You ought to know Jesus. You ought to know God. So that when He promised that He's going to bring it to pass. You don't know when, you don't know how, but you know it's going to happen. See, we put more stock in the news media than we do in God's word. We get upset when we read the newspaper, but then we are getting no reaction when we read God's word. And my question is, who do you believe more? Do you believe the word of God or do you believe the news media? I can tell you, you ought to believe the word of God. Now, has it come to this that God's own children cannot believe Him for what He said? Well, Pastor, I don't want to get my hopes up. Well, hope is different than a promise. Did you hear me? Hope is different than a promise. Hope is something that I'm hoping for. But a promise is something that Lord's spoken. And that's a huge difference. So you got to know if it's your hope or is it a promise of God. If it is so that we who say that we love Him because He first loved us, yet we add to the declaration, but there are some of His promises which we just can't believe. Well, there's some of the promises I can't believe. There's some folks who are struggling with that right now. You can't believe that God forgave you for all the things you've done. Somebody hear me. You just can't believe that God would forgive you of all the bad stuff you've done. Pastor, you don't know how bad I was. Then you really don't know how good Jesus is. Pastor, you don't understand all the things that I've done. Then you don't understand the blood of Jesus, because one drop of His blood can touch your whole life and make you as clean as snow. What sins are you talking about, church? His power is bound up in His promises. His power, hear me, is bound up with His promises. Shall it ever be that God failed to keep His promises? No, no, no. Because He could not keep it, or not because He couldn't, maybe He miscalculated, Pastor. No, God will always keep His promise. Maybe His arm was too short. No, that didn't happen. Maybe the great deeps and depths of the river was too deep. No, nothing is impossible for God. The Godhead has not dried up and became, atrophy. That He doesn't have enough power to do what He said He could do. If He spoke it to you, you can go ahead and bank on it. You might not know when, but know that it's going to come. How many gets a tax? If you get a tax return, money in the bank, my tax guy, he says, will you want to sign up for it just to come to your account? I said, is that faster? Yep, then let's do it. And I don't know when it's coming, but I know it's coming. Somebody needs to hear me. Matter of fact, I check on it weekly. How many know what I'm talking about? When you know it's coming, some of y'all that still get it in the mail, you go to your mailbox. Oh, I know it's coming. Where's my check? 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 Come on, somebody. But see, I knew it was coming. And every week I would check my account to see if it was there. But it just surprised me one day, because I kind of forgot about it for a week or two, because it took about 6 weeks to get there. And I kind of forgot about it. But when it was there, I went, whoo, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Mama going out to eat tonight. Come on, somebody. But you got to understand, it's the same way with God. If God has said it to you, you might not know, but I'm expecting, I'm expecting, I'm expecting. I didn't quit working and quit paying my taxes and quit paying my tithes and quit doing my job, waiting on the check to come. No, when God gives you a promise, you continue to do what you know to do, but you just know in the back of your mind that it's coming to your way, and when it gets there, I'm going to shout and I'm going to glorify God, because I know that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If he has said it, so shall he not bring it to pass. Oh, I'm preaching better than your amen. So then if he slights the promises of God, if we slight his promises, we also slight his truth. And if we slight his truth, we slight his power. If we don't believe that God can do what he said he can do, then we're slighting his truth. See, we're all seriously compromised by his mercy and his love if you don't believe his truth. It was love that moved him to give the promise. It wasn't your manipulation. Oh, you're not hearing me. It wasn't your manipulation. You know, I hear some preachers all the time go, well, if you'll give this, you're going to get this type of return. Well, you can't say that. Unless God said it. Right? Now, I know you'll get a return, but I can't tell you what it's going to be. You know what I do when I give? When I give, I just go, God, give it back in whatever way I need it the most. Because he knows more than I do. Amen? Listen, how many knows that he can give you $1,000, but I'd rather have my health, because that'll cost you a lot more than $1,000. Come on, somebody. All right? So let's talk about the range of his promise. For Paul said, all the promises of God. There are very many of them that they are found in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. But where's the promise at? Listen, Phineas Dakes said that there are 33,000 promises. Now, I didn't count them. I quit at about 4. But he said there's 33,000 promises in this book. So there's a promise in here. Well, Pastor, how do you know it's for you? Does it resonate? Does it become what we call a rhema word in your spirit? That it jumps off the pages. See, there's a promise in here that your quiver shall be full. Talking about children, I don't want that promise. My quiver is full with 2. That's all I need. How many is going to sign up wanting some more? Want some more children? There's a couple of you wanting some more children out there. But how many of you got like 6, 8 children? How many of you want? You want another one? Ooh, children. No, Lord. We had 11 in my family. I was looking to give some away. There was one given at the gates of the Garden of Eden. There was a promise there. And very near the commencement of human history, it was given. There's another one right at the end of Revelation that says, surely I come quickly. There's a promise at the beginning. There's a promise at the end. And there's promises all throughout this book. If we will just listen to them, if we'll read them. The book is a book of precious promises. But yet we walk around without a promise in our life. We walk around without victory in our life. You got to get some of these promises in your spirit and begin to declare them and announce to the world. Announce to the devil that says you're always going to be like this. Say, in the name of Jesus, God said I'd be the head and not the tail. I'd rise above and not beneath. That I'm going to be blessed in the city and blessed in the fields and blessed in the country and blessed coming in and blessed going out. I'm not always going to deal with this. I'm not always going to be dilapidated. I'm not always going to have struggle. I'm not always going to be all upset. There's coming a day that I'm going to walk in peace because he is my perfect peace. My God, look at somebody and tell them that's coming a day. It just might be today. Glory to God. The heart of this text, for all the promises of God are in him, and yea and amen. All the promises, the Old Testament ones as well as the New Testament ones, are sure and steadfast. Now here's the problem, though. I got to hit this. I don't have time to preach it yet. but I'm just going to hit this because I got to get to where I want to go. There are conditional promises. The promises aren't conditional. No, no, the promises are conditional. Listen, I told my children I would pay for college. Five conditions. Wow, Pastor. If you want me to pay for it, you're going to succumb, submit, do these five. Y'all wondering what they are, ain't you? One of them is this. Just my person. This is me and my wife's, all right? Y'all ain't got to do it. Whatever. This is our personal conviction of which if I'm going to pay for it, no tattoos. Are they wrong? That's between you and your mama. No piercings other than your ear. I don't want you coming up here looking like I can hang a shower curtain on you. Gotta keep a B average. You ain't going to college to party. You ain't going to college to meet a knucklehead. You're going to college to get an education. Number three. Now, I know what some of you know. Well, you don't know that. No sex. Well, you don't know that. Well, I know if you come up pregnant, I know something. I know what no immaculate conception. Young, play that if you want to. And then number five, you don't get married. You're not looking for no MRS degree. Some of y'all get the MRS degree. You looking for a college degree. Well, what if I get married? Then you grown now. Your husband takes on them bills. Your husband pays your loans. Your husband pays your college. That's what happens there. Uh-huh. Well, I'm grown. Then be grown, baby. You want to be grown, then be grown. And everything's on you. Don't be coming back to my house if you're going to say you're grown. I got rules up in my house. I'm just saying. That's just me now. Now, my babies are always welcome back at my house as long as they do by my rules. But they're grown. They must not be real grown. They got to live with me. They ain't grown enough to pay their own bill. Come on, somebody. Amen. And I got good girls, and I thank you, baby girl. My youngest is here. I got good girls, and I thank God, give God praise. Conditional promises, if we believe and if we repent, God will do this. That's conditional. Well, I'm saved because God loves me. No, you're not. You're saved if you believe. If you repent, then you become saved. Right? They are conditional promises. God, the Bible is chock full of, if you will, I will. Well, but Pastor, I don't want to give some conditions on mine. Lord, I will if you... No, that ain't work that way. See, here's the deal. See, the problem is people try to compromise with God and negotiate with God, but you're not in a power position. My God, that a preach right there. You're not in a power position to negotiate. See, listen, and I'm not picking on her because she's here, but my baby girl, she'll be in her last year of college, and she's done great, phenomenal, doing good. Love you, baby. Proud of you. And she's working youth camp, and they're Mr. Brooks over there going to be a secondary mathematics teacher there. Come on, somebody. She wants to come back to Crystal River, so there you go. Think about it right over there. All right. Just networking while I'm here, getting her a job. Come on, somebody. A J-O-B. That's what I'm talking about. All right. So anyway, I don't know where I was going now. You don't know where I was going either. You just got up with a job or something. And you was like, yeah, that's bad. Come on, somebody. Anyway. Conditional promises. Oh, it would be crazy if my daughter said, well, Daddy, I don't want to do that. Here's my condition. No, baby, you ain't got no power. You ain't got no money. You ain't got nothing to say to me. You ain't got no money. Well, if you don't pay for my time, I'm going to go do this. Then go do that. If you don't pay for my college, I'm going to be a bum. You're going to be a bum on the street. Living up under a bridge. Pastor, you so mean. No. Listen, here's the problem. I'm trying to get out of this, baby. You keep pressing on me, though. Here's the problem. You got to start that stuff when they're young. You can't start when they're 22. You can't start when they're 18. You better start when they're 6. You better start when they're 6 months. I'm talking about age. I'm about 6 months. Don't lie to your baby. Ah, you do that one more time, I'm going to spank you. You do that one more time, I'm going to spank you. You do that one more time, I'm going to spank you. You do that one more time, I'm going to spank you. Do that one more time. Spank the child, for God's sake. Quit lying to your children. Uh-huh. Glory to God. And then there are unconditional ones. Unconditional promises. The promises, I will always love that girl. I don't always agree with her, and just because I love her doesn't mean I'm going to give to her, but I will always love her. Are you listening to me? Unconditional. The promises of everlasting covenant, in which he pledges himself to give men repentance and to give them new hearts and right spirits, he will keep them too if you will let him. Unconditional ones. God will fulfill all temporal promises. Bread shall be given to you and water shall be assured unto you if you are the Lord's children. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. Come on, somebody. He will keep his promises about temporal affairs as well as those which concern everlasting joys and blessings. No good thing, Psalms 84:11, no good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. Man, when your children do right, don't you just want to give them? You just want to give them everything that they desire or want. You still can't do all that because they'll get spoiled. But anyway, let me move on. Faith works wonders. The promises of God are very firm. They are settled on an everlasting basis, for they are the promises in Christ. And as I look at the text, I see these two words leaping out up in front of me. And as I look at it, it says, in him. The promises are in him. They're in Christ. They're not in me. They're not in the church. They're in Christ. Here's what Colossians 2 and 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. But did you catch that first part? If you abide in me and my word abides in you. All right, now let's go to point number 3. The results of the promise. I preached all day to get right here. The promises of God are his glory. There is no pretended God that has ever been or ever will be that makes the promises like your God does. I mean, come on. Read all the ancient texts that you want to. Turn to the Quran. You won't see Muhammad giving some promises like God gives. Yeah, look at all the other religions and you won't find any other God saying some things like God says. But our God has promised more than heaven and earth can hold. The promises of God. He comes to the tree though. We're talking about in Christ. Now here's what I want to get to. In Matthew 21, wait a minute, that ain't the text, Pastor. I know it. But it's a parallel to Luke or to Mark that we just read. When he comes to the tree in the same parable in Matthew 21, he finds only leaves and says to it in verse 19, in the middle of the verse, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Well, then why was he so upset? If you just found leaves, it hadn't budded the real buds yet. But here's what you don't understand in Israel and in Palestine. That the fruit comes first. The fruit comes first and then the leaves come. So if it has leaves, it should have already had fruit. My God, somebody hear me. If it had leaves, you looking from afar off, it's got fruit because it's got leaves. Because the fruit comes, then the leaves comes around it. In other words, here's what in Mark 11, recording the same incident, Peter said he cursed the tree in Matthew 11, 21. He cursed it. In other words, he pronounced its destruction. He pronounced its doom. He pronounced its death. Now, wait a minute, preacher. How does this have to do anything with a promise? You got to know how my mind works. It's kind of, you know, try not to get up there because it'll mess you up. But I saw him pronounce a curse on this tree. And the Bible said the next day, When they came by it, it was dead from the roots up. Now, here's what's interesting. And I wrestle with this all this week. That in Matthew 21, the Bible says immediately it died. But in Mark chapter 11, it said it died the next day. So I had to go into my research. And I just want y'all to know that my computer's down. It died in Ecuador. And so I had to go old school. I had all my books out all over my desk, researching and inventorying. My phone, I can't do that. I'm my eyes. I got old eyes. I need a computer. Anyway, so I went around and looking. But here's one commentary said this, that in Matthew, it doesn't say that it meant that it died instantly. Here's what he said. I love what he said. It died at the moment he said it, but it didn't show up till the next day. So now, you might not be getting a blessing. I did. The tree died immediately from his curse, but the disciples didn't see its death until the next day. So the Lord quickened me right there in Ecuador, and I don't know what they were saying, because I don't speak a lot of Spanish, but in my seat, they must have thought I was getting what they were saying, because I went, my God, glory to God, Jesus. Because here's what I saw. That Jesus himself spoke a word, spoke a promise, spoke a deed, but it took to the next day for the rest of everybody to see it. And just because you don't see your promise doesn't mean that it's not already happening. Just because you don't see what God said doesn't mean that it's not already coming down the pike. Just because you don't see what God said doesn't mean that it's not happening behind the scenes, behind the leaves, behind the dirt. When he spoke to it, it went down into the roots of that tree and began to kill it from the inside out. You don't know what God's doing in the people around you. You don't know what God's doing in you. God spoke that you shall be delivered. You shall be set free. You might not see it right now, but know that God spoke a word into your spirit, and it's coming down. It's going way deep down into your spirit, and it's going to come out in the way that God meant it to. Well, glory, come on, give him praise. Come on, Josh, help me close. I gotta quit. He killed this tree with his word. I want you to get that. He killed that tree with his word. Tree, you're dead to me. And presently the fig tree withered away. And you compare those two. When the disciples came back in Matthew, it wasn't already dying. It was dead by the time they saw it. Or I'm sorry, Mark. I've come by to tell somebody. God gave you a word, and you're still waiting for it to come to pass. Don't grow weary in your well-doing. Because I want you to catch this picture. Catch this picture in your mind. Jesus walked by the tree, went up to it to eat. Man, he had a hard week in store for him. He wanted some figs. He wanted something hungry. He said, I curse you. You dead. And he didn't just sit there and make a camp, sit around, watch it die. He went on about his business. Somebody needs to hear me. He went on about his business. I got promises all over my life. And some of them haven't come to pass yet. But what am I going to do? I'm going to praise God, because I know if God's not a man that he should lie. If God has said it, it's going to come to pass. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know where. but I know it's coming. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know that it's coming. God, I'm going to go ahead and continue on. I'm going to go ahead and preach, and I'm going to go ahead and pray, and I'm going to go ahead and glorify your name, and I'm going to go ahead and worship, and I'm going to see what you said is going to take place. The Lord, you can't see it, but behind the leaves and the dirt where you can't see, God said, I'm already working. Just felt a little Holy Ghost. And the Lord said, here's the reason. Because the tree doesn't have the opportunity to disagree with the word. Oh, y'all didn't catch that. See, we're humans. Well, I don't like that word. I'm not sure if God said that. The tree knew. See, if we could just be like trees, if we could just be like animals... They spend billions, I forget the number, I used to know the number. They spent several millions of dollars to research while salmon swim back upstream. I could have told them. Give me the money. We could have paid off the church. Y'all didn't know I was a scientist, but I am. Why do salmon swim upstream and lay their eggs where they were born? Because God said, all right, when y'all leave, y'all come back here. And lay your eggs. Pastor, it's not that simple. It is to me. Some people make it too complicated. And so, think about it. When God said, let there be light, and there was light. And they tell me that the light is still expanding because God never said quit. When God separated the sea and the earth, it just happened. The only back talk he got is when he made man. And he said, don't eat of this. And we go, why not? Because I said so. God has spoken some things over your life. Come on, stay with me. God spoke some things over your life, and just because you haven't seen them doesn't mean that they're not in the process of happening. I want to key in on that. That they're in the process. See, now what is the parable? I'm done. I'm not going to finish that. I want to stop right here. Because God spoke some things over some folks. God's given you a word. How many's been in your prayer closet and the Lord illuminated his word to you? How many of you been reading the Bible and you come across a scripture and you're like, I think I'll hold on to that. See, that's what happened to me as a young Christian 30 years ago when I was 10. Yeah, whatever. And I came across this scripture in the break room of Greer's grocery store on my break. And I was reading the Bible. And I read, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And I thought, yes. He come that I may have life. I'm going to hold on to that. That's a promise. I've lived my life. I live my life because I recognize I've got purpose, and I'm not going to, I refuse to let somebody who don't know Jesus enjoy their life better than I do. My God. What's my next one? Come on, Mike, help me. Quit waiting around for all the conditions to be right before you believe his word. Well, but it don't look like it's going. I wonder how many people, when he said, let no one eat from you anymore. What you doing? I'm just going to wait here and see what happens. No, they kept on their way. Keep doing your business. What's my next one, Mike? Stay with me. Stay with me. Do I got another one? Is that it? All right. Good job. If God spoke it, then move on and allow God to work. I'm going to say that again. If God spoke it, move on and allow God to work. Don't quit and set up a temple there. Don't set up camp there. Know that if God said it, I'm good. I'm good. I know it's going to happen. When? I don't know. When? I don't know. Every head bowed, every eye closed. A conditional promise over everybody in this room is that if you'll ask Him, He'll forgive you of your sins and you can make heaven your home. If you don't know Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity. I give you my word. I won't embarrass you. But if you don't know Jesus, but you want to invite Him into your life, would you just slip up your hand? And you can put it right back down. I see that hand. God bless you, hon. God bless you. Anybody else? Everybody pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sin. I want You to be my God, my Lord, and my guide. So by the blood of Jesus, I am made whole today. And I'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give Jesus a hand of praise.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.